Am I on? Okay. Remind me to slap Mike afterwards. So anyway, now Karen and I are thrilled to be with you guys. And now it's, everybody says it's hard when you leave. It's hard when we leave because you guys are family. So anyway, let's just pray. Lord, here we are. We're all your kids. We're big kids, we're small kids, but we're all your kids. And we just ask you, Lord, today that you would just come and just wrap your arms so tightly around everybody here. That, Lord, you have a habit of turning mourning into turn ashes into roses. And that, Lord, that you just bring out the best. And so, Lord, we just ask you that today, that your Holy Spirit would just begin to run up and down every aisle. And that, Lord, we ask you that you would take away all the cares and the worries of the things, Lord, even of the day, things of the week, things of this year. And that, Lord, as long as we run close to you, we will not fail, we will not trip, we will not fall. But instead, Lord, we're just going to run full speed and just do a half gainer right into your lap. Because, Lord, that's where we all want to be. And so, Father, we just thank you for everything you've done and everything you're doing and everything you're about to do. And we all said, amen. Well, when I was working on the message the other day, I started putting it all together, and the Lord said, nah, scrap it. I was like, oh, thank you. been working on it for a couple of weeks, and the Lord said, this isn't what I want you to talk about today. And what he wants me to talk about today is open doors. And open doors creates a dilemma for us. Open doors creates, what are you going to do when the door opens? And so the thing that the Lord really started showing me was when I was a kid, yes, this used to be small one time. But when I was a kid, we used to have a store in Chicago, and it was called Zayer. I don't know if anyone ever hear of Zayer? Okay, I grew up in Chicago to know that. But it was a store called Zayer, and what I loved to do was we would go there shopping all the time as a family. And before they had the little eye over the door that would open up when it would see you, is they used to have a rubber mat on. And so I used to love to run up to the rubber mat, and I would step on, and the door would open, and then I'd run away. And then the door would close. And then I'd run up again, and I'd step on the mat, and the door would open, and I'd run away. And I loved doing this back and forth because, I mean, it was the coolest thing that I was out there. Until one day when I was doing my usual thing that I loved to do, just running up and jumping on the mat, and the door would open, I'd run away, until one day I heard my father's booming voice that said, in or out? And then I had to make a choice. Was I going to go in with everybody else, or was I going to stay out? And so, inevitably, I had to choose. See, and that's the whole thing is, when the door opens, we have to choose. Are you going to go through, or are you going to stay out? And so it kind of reminds me of a game that a lot of people like to play with God. They have this idea, and they say, Lord, open the door, and I'll go through. And then he opens the door, and you have to say, am I going in, or am I going to run away? And we see people play that game a lot, because the thing is, see, God chooses you, but you have to choose if you are going to go through and follow him, or are you going to choose your own path? Kind of reminds me of, there's a guy that I've been kind of ministering to for the last couple of years, and I'm going to change his name to protect the innocent, so I'm just going to call him Xavier. And so for Xavier, what he's been doing for years is he literally just cries and he sobs and he says, God, please open the door so I could go through and you could use me. And then God literally spoke to him and said, Xavier, I want to use you now. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, but I have to take care of my aging mom and come back another time. And then Xavier goes on for a little while, and God comes up and says, "Excuse me, Xavier, I'm ready to use you." And what do you think Xavier says? "I'm sorry, Lord, I can't. I have to take care of my elderly mom." So very recently, I was talking to Xavier, and as I was talking with him, he was kind of giggled and turned all red, and I said, "What's been going on in your life?" And he said, "The Lord came to me and said, Xavier, I'm now ready to use you." And what do you think he said? "I can't, Lord. I have to take care of my aging mom." And the Lord promptly repeated to him and said, "Xavier, your mom's been with me in heaven for the last 2 years. I'm ready to use you." And now Xavier is looking for a new excuse why he can't go through the door. And it's a true story. Kind of reminds me of the little boy that, here, I'm going to date everybody in this room, of the little boy that cried wolf. And so what did he do? He would run out and he'd cry, "Wolf, wolf," and everybody would come running with their pitchforks and their rakes and their bats, and they were going to rescue the little boy from the wolf, until finally they found out that, you know what, they really couldn't trust what he was saying, because his actions and his words were going in two different places, and they found out they can't take him seriously. And it's the same way with Xavier. Xavier cries all the time, "Lord, use me. Lord, open the door and I'll go through." And everybody knows that when the door opens, they can't take Xavier seriously because he's never going to go through the door. So how many of you remember the old Mervyn's commercial? Anyone? Where there's a lady and she's dreaming of the big sale that Mervyn's is about to have, the big 3-day weekend sale. And so she wakes up in a cold sweat, she gets dressed, and she runs down to the store, and it's about 2 a.m. in the morning, and there's not a car in sight, and it's pitch black, and she's looking into the dark store, standing there going, "Open, open, open." And she has to wait until the store opens. But we all know that the minute the store opens, that woman is the first one inside because she has an expectancy. I have to get what's inside. There's a lot of times that Karen and I have prayed with people on their deathbed. And you know what's amazing? Most people on their deathbed, they spend their final days or weeks living in regret. And they seem to say the same thing. "I just wish once I could have done something incredible for God." But see, the thing is, if we come and pray for you and you're on your deathbed and you tell us that, it's a little late for us to be able to help you do anything, isn't it? And so all we can do is try to comfort them and say, "You know, the Lord understands." We meet people every day that come into the Free Prayer Center. And you know what? The people know that God wants to use them. And they want to be used by God. And the thing is, they're too easily persuaded to let the enemy make them just completely ineffective and just sit there and do nothing. But yet their heart's desire is to be used. Let me ask you this. Out of all of you here, who wants to be used by the Lord? And God puts that in our heart for a reason. He wants to use you. But you have to trust yourself and you have to trust God that, you know what, He knows you a little better than you know yourself. And if God put a desire in your heart to use you, do you think that He's setting you up to fail? I have a question for you. What would you do if you couldn't fail? And you hear the holy hush settle over the room. There was an elderly couple, and they came to Karen and I, and they said, "Oh, life is just passing us by, and we just always wanted God to use us, and I just wish God would use us, and oh, you know, we're getting ready to retire, and we don't know what to do." And the Lord said, "Ask them, how long was my ministry on this earth?" 3 years. The Lord said, "Ask them this, give me the next 3 years of your life and see what happens." And they went, "Oh, you mean like now?" And God's going, "Yeah, like now. Give me 3 years and just let me do what I want to do with your life and watch what happens. It will be the most exciting 3 years of your life. I think that was about a year ago. And two of the 3 years are left, and they still haven't done anything about it. There's a man that came into the Free Prayer Center the other day. He and his wife stopped because they want to congratulate Karen and I on our move, and they want to talk about the move. And I looked at the husband, and he looked like death warmed over. And I said, "You okay?" He goes, "Nah." I said, "What's going on?" And as we began to talk, he confided in me that in the last year, he and his family had felt that God was moving them to this new adventure, to this new place. His whole family was excited, but this is the fourth time in the last year that he has completely talked not only himself, but also his family out of fulfilling what God's calling them to do. And you know what the thing is? It's harder on you and your family to not do what God's calling you to do than it is to step forward and do what God's calling you to do. This man lives in misery all the time because he knows he is not fulfilling what God wants him to do. And it even went to the point of where I said, "What's your biggest fear?" And he said, "Well, my dad lives here and we're thinking about moving to Florida and I don't know about that." And I said, "Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you ask the Lord to give you a sign that your dad would be okay?" And the Lord said, "Tell him that if he moves to Florida, I will move his dad with him." And he said, "But how do I know that's true?" And I said, "Well, let's do this. You just close your eyes and ask the Lord, 'Lord, what's the truth about this?'" And so he did. And he said, "What did you hear?" He said, "Yes, I'm to go." I said, "Okay, so are you going to go?" And he says, "No." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, how do I know Satan didn't just put that thought in my mind and he's setting me up to fall?" I said, "But who did you just ask?" He said, "Well, I asked God." "Well, what did God say?" "Well, God said, yes, go." "Well, are you going to go?" "No, because that might be Satan trying to set me up to fall, so I can't go." How many of you I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but how many of you sitting here today have had that conversation? Yeah, only Mike's the honest one back there. But we all have that conversation with God. Do you know he wants to use you? You guys are amazing. And you know what? With this guy, while he was sitting there, I said, "How? You know what? I'm going to ask the Lord to give you a sign right now to prove to you that if you make this decision, your father will go with." And he said, "Okay, if you could prove it to me." So I said, "Let's do this." I put my hand towards him. I said, "Lord, show him. Give him a sign that if he moves, that his father is going to go with him and his family, and it's going to be a great adventure." I said, "Amen," and his cell phone rang. And he looked at it, and it was his father calling. And now he told me he's not going. But you know, there's a guy that, you know, after his cell phone rang, he got really mad at me. Because I quoted to him James 1:8. And James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And he became really upset with me about that. But if you ask me the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you ask me to ask the Lord what the truth is, I'm going to tell you what he says. And yet this man wants to be used by God. He just can't take the first step. See, are you willing? Everyone say that word, willing. See, are you willing? That's the big word. Do you know that's the threshold that trips up most people? Are you willing to be who the Lord has called you to be? Are you willing to be where the Lord is calling you to be? You know, Isaiah one day, do you realize that all of a sudden he found himself in the strategy room of heaven? And so he's standing in the strategy room, and he hears God say this in Isaiah 6:8. He hears God asking, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And guess what God did? He sent him. See, God has placed inside of each and every one of us both the ability and the desire to be used. And See, I always wanted to be used by God. When I was growing up, I played with Jesus all the time. I played with him. I knew who he was. When I was 11, somebody told me, well, you have to invite him in your heart or it doesn't count. I asked Jesus in my heart because, well, it was the thing to do. But see, I always knew him. I always talked with him. And I just didn't know, how could he use me? And that's the problem. Most of us take a look and say, you look in the mirror and say, how can you use that? Anybody track with that? How can you use that, God? And you know what the Lord used to say to me? Why not? Then you have to answer that question. But one day when I was sitting in the living room and I was reading through the Bible and I came across Isaiah 6:8, something sparked inside of me. And when I heard those words of Isaiah, here I am, use me. I sat there and when I read that, I said, I could do that. What was I agreeing to? I don't know. But I looked in the Bible and it said, here I am, use me. And I said, God, I can do that. You know what, Lord, I don't know what it means. And what happens? Everybody first goes, Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. Right? Do you know the enemy stops more people because of Africa? And yet how many people do you know that God's using to sending you to Africa? Since God's been using Karen and I, he sent us to Arizona. He sent us to Idaho. He sent us to Iowa. Now we're going to Colorado. And you know what? I didn't see Africa anywhere in between. Kind of felt like it when we were sitting in Arizona at 115 degrees on the roadside, but it still wasn't Africa. But I just started saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. And I said it every time it popped in my head. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Soon I went to church, and that Sunday they announced from the pulpit that the treasurer was going on vacation and he needed someone to do the deposit and someone to just do the collection. And I had never done it before. But guess what popped in my head? James 1:8. And I walked up to the pastor and I said, here I am. Use me. He said, do you have any experience? I said, nope. But here I am. Use me. So I sat with the treasurer a couple of weeks and I learned how to do the books and he went on vacation, and every time he went on vacation after that, I did the books. So it was about 6 months later, and I was sitting in his office, and I was doing the books while he was on vacation. And I overhear a conversation going on in the hallway with the pastor and someone else in the church. And they said, wow, we have got to find someone to clean this church. I mean, look at the place. So I'm filling out the deposit slip, and what do you think pops in my head? Here I am, use me. Let's hear you guys say that. Here I am, use me. So they said, you want to clean the church? I said, sure. I'll clean the church. Never done it before, but I'll clean the church. So I started cleaning the church once a week. And, you know, the thing is, it's kind of like, you know, a quote that Thomas Edison had. He says, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Right? You want me to do that? Yeah. So my job every single week was to go in and to scrub the toilets down and to clean out all the urinals and take out all the garbage and clean all the puke off the, you know, nursery kids' floor. And, you know, I did that every single week. So one day I was in the bathroom and I was scrubbing out the urinals and I hear the door open and there was standing the pastor. And he said, I've got a deliverance appointment in my office and the person's already here and my usual ministry partner just called and they can't make it and the person's already here. Would you sit in with me? So what do you think I said? No, come on. Here, take the gum out of your mouth. Ready? Let's say it nice and loud. Ready? One, two, three. Right. Thank you. So I went in and I sat there and I helped him do the deliverance ministry and he handed me a notepad and a pen and said, if the Lord gives you anything, just write it down and give it to me. And I got a couple of things that I thought were goofy, and I gave it to him, and it worked. I had never done deliverance ministry. I saw Exorcist. I saw her head spin around. I was kind of waiting for the peas to come shooting out, but nothing like that happened. And so time went by, and I sat in a couple more times with the pastor and just kind of did the deliverance ministry with him. And pretty soon he came up to me, and I was in church. He said, I'm really busy, and I've got a couple appointments. He said, how about if you find somebody to help you, and you do the deliverance ministry, because I just can't keep up right now. And I was like, me? Really? I took a big, deep gulp, and what do you think I said? You guys are getting better. So I started doing the deliverance ministry. And more people came and asked for ministry, and I would send them to the pastor, and then he would send them back to me, and I started doing the deliverance ministry. Then pretty soon the pastor came to me, and he said, wow, I took a look at the appointments, and you have more appointments than I have. I felt like saying, yeah, and you got a bigger paycheck than I got. And so anyway, so we just started doing the deliverance ministry, and he says, you know what? He said, you've kind of got this following going on in the church. And he said, how about if you start a home group? I was like, me? I've never. What do I have to do? Well, find a Bible study and do it. So I had never done it before. So I said, all right, here I am. Use me. Pretty soon, I had the biggest Bible study in the church. We had 35 to 40 people every single week. Had it in my mom's kitchen, and she ran out of chairs, and so people literally sat on the counters, and we did the Bible study. So pretty soon, then one day, I was back in the evening cleaning the church, and all of a sudden, here comes Karen. But you know what? One of the things is that every time God opened the door, I wait for the blood to finish draining out of my head and my hands out of fear. And then I said, I've never done that before. But then I said, Lord, here I am. Use me. And you know what? I came to realize that the more I said, what? Right. Every time I spoke these five little words, it seemed like God kept opening more and more doors. And then they announced on Sunday morning, we need somebody to learn how to run the soundboard. I'd never run the soundboard, but I ran up to the pastor and said, well, if you don't have anybody else, here I am, use me. And I started running sound. And you know what's amazing is that one Sunday evening when I was running sound, the most amazing thing happened that ever happened in my life. This cute little woman came walking in church that Sunday night, and she stood right next to the soundboard, and the church was packed, and she couldn't find a seat. And so she stood there, and she gave me that grin and that smile she gives me. And what do you think I said to her? Close! We'll get rid of that decrepitness out of you guys in a minute. I just said, hey, here I am. And she said, what do you want me to do with you? But anyway. And that's how I met my wife. But you know what? It started because of five simple words. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And then he said, here she is. Take her. And then I went back and I was cleaning the church. And Karen showed up one day. Sorry, I talked to my dad. He can't remember her name after 20 years as Karen. He still calls her Sharon. But, so Karen came into the church and I was cleaning. And she says, the pastor asked me if I would start a singles group. And I said I would do the singles group if you would help me. I was like, a singles group? Really? Like those disgusting things that everybody meets. He goes, yeah, it's like, no, really? So what do you think I said? Here I am. Use me. So Karen and I started a singles group. But you know what's the amazing thing about the singles group if I didn't say yes? And if Karen didn't say yes? is that Karen and I, when we had a Bible study, everybody in the singles group showed up, probably, what, 35 people? And then every time we planned an event outside the church, like going to a movie, going for pizza, going downtown, it turned out that time after time after time, Karen and I were the only two that would show up. And so God had us dating and we didn't even know it. True story. We'd go downtown and plan this great big thing, and we would wind up being the only two people at Cheesecake Factory, and nobody else would show up, and it happened time after time after time, and we realized, wow, something's going on. But guess what? It never would have happened if I didn't speak, and she didn't speak five simple words. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And so, one night when Karen and I were dating, I said, hey, I need to go. And she said, where are you going? And I said, well, I clean the church, and so I need to go clean the church. And she turned to me and said, hey, here I am. Use me. So Karen went with me, and we started cleaning the church together. So Karen and I just started spending more time together as we cleaned the church. And then pretty soon, she didn't come in and find a seat. She started sitting back with me at the soundboard. And pretty soon, we were dating, even though we didn't know it, all because we kept saying, here we are, Lord, use us. And pretty soon, that led to Karen and I getting married. And then the pastor came to Karen and I and said, would you guys like to start doing an outreach program? Get together groceries and people and an event and take it out to the neighborhoods. And we're like, us? We've never done that before. And now we said, here we are. Use us. And we started doing an outreach into the neighborhoods, which kind of exploded. But see, the thing was, we just kept using that simple word. Here we are. Use us. And you know what? Those words led us from someone that was just sitting in a church. You know, there's a reason why church seats are called pews. When you sit in them too long, you just kind of start to stink. And so sometimes you just kind of got to get out and be used. And so Karen and I would run sound when I was needed. I'd do the offering when I was needed. We cleaned the church together once a week. And then we started doing the outreach. And what happened is every time God opened the door, we said, here we are, Lord, use us. And those simple words wound up leading us to becoming associate pastors, assistant pastors, co-pastors, and then senior pastors of our own church. All because we adhered to five words in the Bible. And as we continued saying, Lord, here we are, use us. Then the Lord said, I want you to start a roadside ministry. I said, who, us? We've never done anything like that before. But we said, here we are, Lord, use us. Then he said, I want you to start your own vineyard church. Then he said, I want you to open up your own free prayer center. Then pretty soon he said, now I want you to go to Colorado and I want you to teach people how to do the free prayer ministry and do street evangelism. And we're like, okay, Lord, here we are, use us. But see, Karen and I have gotten to a place in our lives where we just say, God, you open the door and we're going to go through it. And the thing that I'm going to tell you is it's not always convenient. It's not. But we're willing. And God takes that to the bank. If you're willing, he will take that to the bank. Even though it's not always convenient, it's always worth it. It always is. And so how did all this happen? It's all because as we continue to walk through every door that God opened, simply just saying five simple words, here we are, use us. But unfortunately, there are many pastors that we talk to, and many pastors that come in the free prayer center, and they said, yeah, I get up on Sunday morning and say, hey, who can we use? We need this, we need that. And people instead turn around and say, who am I? Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? Isn't it somebody else you can ask? Ask Ron. He's not doing anything. And Luke 16:10 says, you know, God is a God of stepping stones. And what he says is, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. A lot of people think that, you know what, we were just born with the Bible in our hand and we just started doing ministry from the minute we hit the ground. We didn't. We just start making ourselves available. We just start saying, Lord, you open the door, we'll go. Here we are, Lord, use us. Here we are, Lord. We're available. Hey, Lord, if there's no one else. It's amazing how many times God will take that and run with it. And maybe some of you are sitting here today and you're wondering, how do I get started? How do I get to the place where God can use me? I don't have any talents. I don't have any special features. You know, I don't either. But every single one that I walked through the door, and Karen and I then walked through the door together, God has used every one of those talents to continuously grow us up the chain to the place of where we just get used all the time. And see, that's the thing, is I think so many of you think, I don't want to be used. But make yourself available. You know, I have a suggestion. If you'd like to learn how to say, Lord, here I am, use me. You know, Bruce, I have a suggestion for you. Get a piece of paper, and whatever needs to be done in the church, write it down. And then I'm going to challenge you guys to something. Go up to the paper and look at what needs to be done. You know what? Do you realize it's a pain in the butt sometimes when you have your own church, and I'm speaking this because we had our own, just making sure the chairs are straight every Sunday? Vacuuming the carpet, wiping things down, cleaning the fingerprints off the doors, making coffee. But I'll tell you, when you allow yourself to be used by the Lord, it goes a long way. Because God asks you to do something that's small because he's leading you to something that's big. And maybe you're sitting here saying, you know what, I just don't have the ability to be able to do something physical. Then you know what, Bruce, I'm going to ask you, take some needs and stick them up on the wall of things that maybe the church needs that they can't afford right now. And maybe for you, you can pull out a checkbook and say, here I am, Lord, use me. But God wants to use you. The enemy makes you think you're insignificant. You have nothing to offer. You know, it's like watching Cheryl. You know, so many people would say, start a house for women. Start a house for women that aren't in a very good place in their life. But you know what? Cheryl said, here I am, Lord, use me. And so many of you do that. You want to know who the people in this church are, the people that say, here I am, use me? Well, there's two sitting in the back over there at the soundboard. And you know what? Who's the lady that always makes coffee? Do you know when you know that, do you know when you miss her the most when she's not here and you say, hey, who's going to make the coffee? But I just want to challenge you to something. Just say, Lord, here I am, use me. Because you never know where those five words are going to lead you. You know, it's kind of funny. As I was working on this message, one of the last things that I had with that we were going to close with is, Lord, if you say go, I will go. Kind of goes along with this, doesn't it? Here I am, Lord, use me. And I had it written down, actually typed out in the bottom of the message. And then we came in here and listened to the worship team rehearsing, and guess what song they were singing? See, God will confirm things to you. And God wants to use. Do you know why he started me off with writing checks and making a deposit and cleaning toilets? Is because if he would have just taken us from right out of the church, right into Andrew Womack Ministries, and learning a whole teaching of ministry, how to do street evangelism, I probably would have died of a heart attack. But you know what? He got us into the ministry 1 year and all at a time. And there were a lot of nights we didn't want to go clean the church. But you know what? I learned how to run the soundboard. So we'd go to the church at 11 o'clock at night, and I'd turn on the soundboard, and we would crank that sucker to no end. And we'd worship the Lord as we back in the church. But God does that because he wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to show you that you are capable of doing more than you'll ever know in your life. So I'm going to ask you, maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here and something's churning inside of you saying, you know, I can do that. Everybody close your eyes. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm not going to add your name to the list. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And for those of you that are, thank you, just say this, say, Lord. Let's all pray it together. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Here I am. Use me. Whatever way, You choose. I'm willing. I'm yours. All of me. For all of you. Because I want to live my life out of the book of Acts. I'm bored. I want life. And I want you. You're my daddy. And I'm your child. And I want to work for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now that I got all of you to pray that, he heard that from all of you. So not just the ones of you that have raised your hand. Well, the Lord gave me a couple of words while we were going through worship.